Well, I welcome everybody again today. Believe it or not, we're on study number 143. So for the 143rd time, go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Now, the date stamp for today is June the 7th, 2026. And as I said, today will be study number 143 in our series entitled Paul's Foundations. And boy, there are a lot of foundations that Paul's laid down. We are not done going through them yet by any means. Again, the purpose of this whole study series is to investigate the various ministries of the Apostle Paul in order to better understand his fundamental teachings through the various dispensations he was involved in. The Apostle Paul is the only apostle ever that I read in Scripture that called himself, according to the inspiration of God, the apostle to the Gentiles. It does that in the book of Ephesians. Us Gentiles, we should listen to the guy that says, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. Last week, we kept on course. We stayed on track here in 1 Corinthians by looking at 1 Corinthians 14, and I believe last week we went through verses 4 through 9. So what I want to do for today is, for today's studies, I want to continue forward with our dive here into 1 Corinthians 14 by rereading verses 4 through 9, and then we'll pick up with verse 10 for today. And it's not real difficult to follow what's going on today, so we should get a lot of verses in. And it may even be better for these verses that they be read in a kind of in a continuous manner so that we can follow the gist of what the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul he devotes a ton of scripture here to this thing about tongues. The only thing I can figure is when they wrote back to him that this particular set of gifts, this gift of tongues, was really being misused by this ecclesia here, this assembly. It was being thoroughly misused evidently by these people, because he is going to give them a roadmap for talking in other languages, in other tongues. It's not an unknown tongue. That was added by the translators. Every time you see the word unknown in the Companion Bible, you will notice that it is italicized, which means it was added. It is not in the original Greek text. The Koine Greek does not contain the word unknown. And should be a. For instance, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, in verse 14 should be for if I pray in a tongue. So it should be always read that way. This whole thing of unknown tongues is gibberish. It's babbling. It makes absolutely no sense. And that's kind of the point the Apostle Paul is going to make as we go through it. So turn with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 here for the 143rd time. Moving to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's reread verses 4 through 9. Paul says, he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. This is going to be the theme as we go through this whole, pretty much this whole thing on tongues. The Apostle Paul is going to bring out how much better prophesying and edifying the assembly is than speaking in a tongue and edifying the individual. Verse 5. Paul said, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the assembly, the church, may receive edifying. Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? He said, if I speak in a tongue, what good is it if I don't do one of these four things that edifies you? And then he makes some examples in verse 7. He says, and even things without life-giving sound, whether a pipe or a harp, he said, except they give a distinction in the sounds, and I made the example of turning a four-year-old loose on the the piano. And if you've never had the pleasure of hearing that, then you've never spent any time in a Baptist church whatsoever. Kids love to find the piano and just bang on it. And that's what he's talking about here. He said, if you, even these things without life-giving sound, like musical instruments, whether it's pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? You know, if it's just a four-year-old banging on a piano versus an accomplished career musician on a piano, I mean, that's a big difference. When you say, man, you can just sit and listen all day. They do concerts and make money off it. There's a distinction in the sounds, and that's exactly what Paul's saying. Except it has a distinction to it, unless you can discern it, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? And then he says, for if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how do you know to prepare himself to the battle? How does anybody know it's time for battle? See, the sounds have a purpose and a distinction to them. And then we got down to verse 9. He says, so likewise ye, just like you folks, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. That's pretty self-explanatory. Unless you utter words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? You're like a piano being banged on. If you're just gibberish, if it's just noise, then it means nothing. How shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. It's just you're making sound waves, but they don't mean anything. They can't be discerned by the assembly around you. And that's the problem. It's just noise. Well, what does that gain? That gains the person making noise a lot of attention. And that's pretty much it. All they get is their own self-gloating, their own personal edification. So let's pick up with verse 10. Having reread those, let's pick up with verse 10 and move on, see how far we can get today. Paul says there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, in the cosmos, but none of them is without signification. Paul admits, when he says voices, that's the Greek phoné, where we get our word telephone, or, you know, these things we carry around that apparently are part of life now. It's the Greek phoné, just like it is in verse 7. We already read it. It literally means the word voice. It literally means voice. So he says, there are, it may be, or if it may be, there are, if it may be, so many kinds of voices or languages in the cosmos, and none of them is without signification. He means there is without signification. It's not without, they're all significant. There's all these different languages, and we know all these languages have existed ever since God confounded the tongues at the Tower of Babel. And he says it may be, or so it may be, that there are so many kinds of voices in the cosmos, and none of them is without signification. And he says in verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, we shall be, and listen to this, if I don't know the meaning of the voice, if I hear somebody speaking Chinese, which I have, I keep using this as an example, but I have literally spent hours, I've got weeks of my life invested in sitting in meeting rooms listening to a language I don't understand. Literally days or weeks of my life that are gone listening to Chinese people speak Chinese. And I didn't understand a word of it. The only thing I understand when they got done with the conversation is, okay. And they would look at me and shake their head. Okay. You know, I'd ask them a question and they'd be, it's 20 minutes of Chinese to get one little, okay, we can do that. And that's kind of how it went. So there are so many voices in the world, but and none of them is without signification. And he says, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, if I don't know what the sound means, I can't understand the language, then to me, he said, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh to me, or he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. If you run upon somebody and you don't speak either one of their languages, both of you kind of consider somebody as an alien or an outsider, a barbarian. That word barbarian there is from the Greek barbaros, and it means a foreigner. Or back in the day that Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians, it meant a non-Greek speaking person. Anybody that didn't speak the common Greek, the Koine Greek in that day, they were considered, man, you are, you ain't from around here, are you? They were considered a barbarian. They didn't even know the most common language that almost everybody in the known world at that time spoke. You know, it's probably outlying islands or some outlying countries that were so far from the center there that they didn't even learn Greek, which is to me is almost, it's almost unfathomable. But the common Greek made you a non-barbarian. If you didn't speak the common everyday layman's Greek, then you were considered a barbaros, a non-Greek speaking person there, as it says in verse 11. So Paul's pointing out, if I can't understand them and they can't understand me, then we're both looking at each other as if we're a barbarian. You know, that's just how it was. Verse 12. Paul said, even so, or so ye also, there in verse 12, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, pneumatikos, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Well, there he just boils it down and says what he's thinking once again. He's already stressed one time how much more worthy being a one who prophesies is than one who speaks with tongues, or one who speaks in a tongue. So he said, even so ye, or so ye also, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, Paul said, I know you won't the spiritual gifts, but I want you to seek that ye may excel. And that word excel there in chapter 12 is abound, that ye may abound to the edifying of the church. Once again, let the tongues go, bear down on the edifying. Verse 13. Paul says, wherefore let him that speaketh in a tongue, there's that unknown again. Let him that speaketh in a tongue pray. Ah, well, now we're going to get some ground rules from the Apostle Paul about this whole tongue thing, which we knew. He's already laid down a few. And if you go back and look at the structure of the chapters, Dad pointed out when we started this, he picked up on it right away that this whole chapter has a structure to it. And it's about pointing out the problems, giving the warnings, pointing out the problems, giving the warnings. That's what Paul's doing. So 13, here's one of the warnings. Wherefore let him that speaketh in a tongue pray, prosukamai, in verse 13 there. That's to pray to God. We've been through this in my whole series on prayer. The vast majority of the times that you see the word pray in the New Testament is going to be the Greek form prosukamai, and it means to pray to God for thanks, to pray to God for whatever reason, but it means generally to pray to deity. So if there's going to be somebody that speaks in a tongue, Paul says pray, talk to God that he may enter. So what's about interesting, Paul? You mean I can't just get out here and throw out a bunch of gibberish without any interpretation. Well, that's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what
that's Satan's job.
Yeah. Satan, that stole my thunder. Satan is the author of confusion, not God. God does things in a very orderly, arranged, ordained, planned fashion. It's Satan that throws in the anarchy, the chaos. That's what the whole dark side of creation works toward, chaos. If you see anything out in the world that's against order, that's against law, that's against arrangement, then it's generally promoting chaos, which usually is not of God, for whatever it may be. It can be in daily life, in politics, in business. Anything that promotes chaos is generally not of God. So that's why Paul says in 13, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray. Pray to God that he may interpret. Verse 14. And Paul again is going to give some examples. He said, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. The spirit may can understand what's going on between the person and God, but he says my understanding in verse 14, my mind, literally it could be translated mind. That word is translated 7 times understanding and 17 times it's translated mind. See, he separates mind and spirit here in verse 14. It's because it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding, my mind is unfruitful. And then he says, what is it then? I like the way Paul does it. He'll just stop. So what are we doing then? And a lot of times that's his argument, his means of argument to these Corinthians here. What is it then? He said, I will pray with the spirit. Listen to this. I will pray, same word, prosukamai, with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. He said, I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Whatever you do should all be done in that same language, whether it be in spirit or in mind. So that there's harmony there. There's peace between the two. He said, I'll pray with the spirit and I'll pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the spirit and I'll sing with the understanding. You see what he's saying? He's saying be consistent with it. And then verse 16, he said else, and else there, else when is else if thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room? Now that's interesting. It means to fill up. So he says, else if thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that fills up the room of the unlearned? It's literally private there as opposed to official. It's almost like, if you speak in a tongue through to the spirit or through your spirit, he says, how shall he that occupies the ones in the room of the learned, how do they say amen? If you're having your own conversation and no understanding is coming out of it, how do the people in the room, Paul says, how do they know when to say amen? At thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. The whole point is, it's pointless to speak in a language that only edifies the speaker. You have to do things in a manner and speak in a manner that edifies those that are out there. Else you're just edifying yourself. I think it's why Paul spent so much time on this. Because this tongues thing evidently to this group of believers turned into a it turned into a satanic kind of a pride thing. And incidentally, it's Pride Month, in case everybody forgot. Well, we know where pride gets us, don't we? We saw that with Satan. I will. You know, he's the I will guy. Doesn't matter what God wants, let me tell you what, I got this pride. And that's not of God.
I think that's the reason it went on a lot so long in the Holiness Church, because nobody knows when to say amen and stop them doing it.
Exactly. I've seen videos where they jump around for 30, 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing, but you see in the notes and all this, this went on for, this was the service. That's all they did. Well, who gets, if I were a stranger, to Paul's point, if I were, have walked in off the street and said, well, I'll see how these people do, how they worship today, and I'll sit down here. And if you had half a mind about you whatsoever and sat down and witnessed all this stuff, you'd be like Drew was when the time we went, they all prayed all at one time. He got turtlenecked. It was about six or seven. He got turtlenecked around like he didn't know which door to run out of. Then, you know, he was right. That's confusion. That's not orderly and ordained and arranged the way God does things. God is not the author of confusion. He didn't even, you know, like Genesis 1 tries to make you think that God created an imperfect world. Well, that's King James translation, if you correct it. God created the heavens and the earth and they were. You don't believe it? Read Isaiah 45:18. He created it to be inhabited, and it was until sin ruined it. And then it became, as a result of a judgment, it became waste and blackness. Confusion is not the way God operates. If God wanted us to operate in utter confusion and just stumble our way through our lives and die with no hope, he would not have given us his word. He would not have given us his son. You see, all this is for us. God desires communion with his creation. That's why we're here. And bless your heart, one day I'm going to appear there with him and I'm going to give him all the communion he can stand. And I am looking forward to that day. With all my heart.
Ronnie, this is Alan. Ronnie, this is Alan.
Yeah.
As I grew up as a child, this is something similar. For centuries, the Catholic Church was, the Mass was in Latin. And nobody understood what was being said, but you had to respond in Latin. And
that totally proves the point, doesn't it, Alan? Holy smokes. I had heard that, but it just now dawned on me how pertinent that is to what I'm saying. Why would you stand up and preach or teach an entire sermon in Latin when not one person in the audience knows what you're saying? Unless they know Latin.
It doesn't always have to be in another language. It can be in the English language that you and I understand. But it still can be gibberish, and as Cecil said, people don't always know when to say amen, but if everybody else, they just chime in, and I'll be part of the group, and you come out of it, and you say, what was that all about?
Yeah, what did he say? Yeah, everybody's like, what did he say? That's great points, guys, and you're helping me buttress what Paul's saying here, as if it needs any help. Because he says, if you don't speak the language, how do they know when to say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest?
Well, it's just like on TV. They hold up the little sign that says applause.
Yeah, applause now. Laugh or, you know, whatever they need the audience to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Ronnie, you know, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and what he was saying is exactly true. Well, in the church that my family went to add insult to confusion, the pastor of the church, to the Catholic Church, he was German, and he had an extremely strong German accent. You got to throw that into the mix.
Well, that's like this squared then, right? This gibberish squared.
Right.
If you got gibberish squared, you still got gibberish. You got
that. There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are some preachers, there are some that, you know, when they get to a point, they say, can I get an amen? Well,
yeah, if you ask for the amen, you may not be doing it. That's all I got to say about that. You guys get y'all get the point. Obviously, you see what's going on here. And he goes on in verse 17. And he says, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other, he said, if you pray, with an unknown tongue or with a tongue, he says, for else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, then he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, you can do it fine, but the other one, he's not edified. And see, that's the whole problem. Who's getting the edification? Is the big question through 1 Corinthians 14. And if you want to burn something into your mind that'll help you remember what's in 1 Corinthians 14, it's about edification. Not so much about tongues, but about, yeah, tongues are okay, Paul says, but I would rather you prophesy to the edifying of the group. It's all about the group. So he says, for thou verily givest thanks well, it's okay for you, but the other is not edified. If I sit here today and say things that don't do any of you any good, I would trust and I would pray that you guys would light up my email and my telephone. You say, Ron, what are you talking about? We can't even follow what you're saying. We don't understand you. Because if we go to that point, then I'm wasting your time, and I never want to, we're wasting God's time, and we don't want to do that. Paul goes on in 18. See, I told you this was easy to understand. This is not rocket science here, what he's telling me. He says in 18, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Well, wait a minute, Paul, you just said you didn't really push the tongues, but he's not saying he pushes it. He said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than any of you. Paul said that. Yet in the church, listen to what he's, and his dad says there at the end of 18, full stop. That means he's about to say something else that you better listen to. You better catch the meaning of what he's about to say. He said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all, full stop. Yet, in the church, in the assembly, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Wow. Paul said, I'd rather say five words that you understand as opposed to 10,000 words that you don't. Makes sense. I told you this wasn't rocket science. Scripture is not difficult to understand right here, if words mean anything at all, which they do. Yet in the assembly, see, it's back to the edifying. I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, he says in verse 20, be not children in understanding. Full stop. Once again, you better listen to what's coming next. Howbeit in malice, be ye children. I love this verse. But in understanding, be men. Paul said, if you want to be humble, or if you want to be naive about something, be naive about malice, having malice toward one another. That's what I want you to not understand is malice. But when it comes to understanding, I want you to stand up and be a man about it. Let's say things that are understandable. Let's communicate in a way that edifies the entire group. Not hard to understand. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men, be grown-ups. Have full understanding of a mature believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. And that is quoted, I think that's from the Psalms. It says, let's look at the note there on in the Companion Bible on verse 21 where it says the law. It says the scriptures of the Old Testament are called the law and the prophets, the law, the prophets and the Psalms. And it says here the law includes Isaiah, just as in John 10:34, 15:25, it includes the Psalms. So, I'm not sure where that quote is from. It says the question is from Isaiah 28:11-12. So Paul says, in the law it is written, verse 21, with men of other tongues and of other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. The Lord predicted the blindness of Israel way back in the prophets, way back in the Old Testament prophets. So Paul says in verse 22, wherefore tongues, what are they for? They're for a sign. Tongues are for a sign. Like to them that believe. Oh, wait a minute. What are you saying, Paul? Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. He said, if you're going to talk with tongues, that's, tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but they're a sign to the unbelievers. Well, if you were an unbeliever speaking another language and somebody spoke to you in your language just immediately, you would go, wow.
What if you were deaf?
Yeah.
And you got the sign language. I think that's one of the most beautiful things that man has done for people.
Overcomes a impediment. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
But still, it's so important that even the sign, they can understand it in mind by the sign.
Yeah. Even without any language, they have their own language, but it's all movement, all symbol, symbology. It's still an alphabet, still a symbolism language.
Yeah.
I think they can believe and get it just as much as anybody through their language is very, very thorough.
But it doesn't work for people that have been involved in that.
Yeah. That's
good. I look at Laura's family and to see, they can do pretty dope.
Susie's, I've been around her as much as Lori and the rest of the family, but I can have a pretty good conversation with Susie and she can't speak a lick.
Yeah.
You know, but she understands gesture and sign and she reads your lips and all these things. Yeah, she gets it. No doubt about it.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah. It certainly is. So Paul says the tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to the unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
Tongues were a sign to bring unbelievers to the point of getting their attention. Well, what's all this about? Well, go back and read Acts chapter 3. All those strangers that showed up, what did God do? God did the interpreting. He gave the gift of tongues, and it said each heard in their own language.
Yeah.
It wasn't an unknown tongue. It was God doing the interpreting so that the word could get out.
Well,
that's what it was all about.
The Holy Spirit needed that.
Yeah.
In order
to... We don't have a lot of time to convert a nation. That was, you know, we got a whole nation to convert. here too. Yeah, here the too. Kingdom hopes. We got to get on. We don't have time to train interpreters. God did it.
Yeah.
And to the young, that was a miraculous.
And to the others, they thought these guys were drunk.
They said, these guys, that ain't nothing to that. They're just drunk. But it was 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So, you know, Peter said that. It's just the third hour of the day here.
Yeah.
We're not drunk. This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Joel prophesied that men of other tongues would hear these things. So that's why he said, tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not.
Well, and the Spirit was called the Comforter. So if you can't get comfort from seeing all this mouth movement and all this stuff, and if you can't get it from that, you're just...
You ain't no better off than you were. No. There's no edification. That's exactly the whole point Paul's been making the whole time. Where's the edifying?
Yeah.
You're not edified if you can't hear and understand it. So he says, the tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, but prophesy serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If you prophesy, that edifies the church, the assembly. The prophesying, speaking for God, speaking out of God's word, was the edification of the assembly. 23. And I got just a few minutes left here. Paul said, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, he's going to give some hypotheticals here. He said, if therefore the whole assembly be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? This literally describes some of these Church of God meetings that I've seen online. If I walked in there, I couldn't stay 2 seconds. I'd have to run and get out. These people are crazy. What are they doing? They're just nuts. That's exactly the point. I can't understand how these people claim to read the same Bible I do. It blows my mind. And I'm not disparaging anybody. I'm just saying, wake up and smell the coffee burning. This is pretty bad. The very thing you're doing is disparaged in the scripture. By the Apostle Paul.
How do they miss that?
Didn't they miss that, Tim? I don't have a clue. Let's read it again. So he says, if the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, like I've seen them do, and there come in those that are not unlearned or should they come in unlearned or believe or unbelievers, he said, will they not say that you're mad? Sure they will, because they got common sense. Anybody with a half a brain and common sense can look at that stuff and tell that no good is coming from it. Nobody is being edified by that. And that's his whole point here. I keep saying that. And boy, he went to a lot of pain and a lot of verses to get this through these people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but if all prophesy, verse 24, and there come in one that believeth not or unlearned, he's convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. If somebody comes into a meeting, my prayer would be that if somebody came into one of our conferences and sat down that and they were an unbeliever, that when they got up, they would at least be able to say, well, what you was saying made sense. And I was edified. I got a little bit out of that. That would be a great blessing. But if they came in and called us jumping around like a bunch of crazy people, that's what they're going to leave and tell people. You see what Paul's saying here? And they would leave and report that God is in you of a truth. Truly, God is in those people. Is what they would say if they came in and it was orderly. And it made sense, and the people that are listening are edified. It was important in this day enough where Paul spent this much time and this much scripture to get it across. So how much more important is it for us today? And I'm not saying that these things apply to us today because we don't have tongues today. That gift, I believe, is taken away. Lori and I were talking. I'm not sure that one day there will not be any voice, no tongues at all. When we're manifested with him, I'm not so sure there'll be any air. So how do we communicate, or do we communicate at all? Or do we just communicate with the Son of God? Do we do it telepathically? I don't know. When Paul says, as for tongues, they will cease. How many tongues cease, and when do they cease? Does that mean other languages, or does it mean all languages are going to cease? I believe at some point, all spoken language will go away. Won't be any need for it. Won't be any air.
Well,
you know, it depends on what kind of resurrection body you get as to whether you're going to need air or not.
You know, when me and your mother would go somewhere, and this conversation, and, you know, everybody was speaking, basically speaking one language, but they were something that she picked up on and all these things. And when we get out and get in the car, why didn't you get in? Oh, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you do something about it?
She didn't even know what was going on.
Well, I said, well, I don't know if they wanted my advice.
Maybe they did, maybe they did.
Yeah, because, I mean, with her.
She picked up on it, yes.
That she thought, well, me and you, we talked to each other a lot, all the time.
Yeah.
And she said, well, you know, you sit there and you didn't realize they something going on. That there is.
I've heard how you two are doing that.
No, yeah.
Yeah, Mama was, she was the queen of innuendo. If she went in a house and things weren't going well, she knew it immediately.
She knew it immediately.
She'd pick right up on that.
Automatically. Well, yeah. When I was magistrate for 8 years, and I had to deal with people that were not getting along with each other, quite a little bit. And, she was a great help for that, because I would just listen. I'd say, okay, I'll give you, we'll get together again and
talk about it.
And then I'd talk with her.
She'd tell you what you missed.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it was like it was.
Yeah, she was definitely good at that. Well, I'm out of time, folks. We're going to stop there. Thank you for being with us. I hope you were blessed. I was certainly blessed by it. Picking up on a lot of things going through this that I've kind of thought about before, but not like I'm thinking about it now. So bow with me. Father, we thank you again for this day, for this study. Thank you for those that have come this way. Father, we thank you for the gift of prophesying that we even carry through to today, and those that speak for God. Father, we pray for them, those that truly speak for you, that you would bless and that you would, Father, edify and keep them within your will, that the things that they say will be said and done according to your will and not our own. Father, thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, most of all, and for his precious blood, without which none of this would be possible or worth it. Thank you, God, for all that you will do according to our upcoming conference and the blessings we expect even now to receive from that. Be with us. Continue to bless us, lead, guide, and keep us is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.